I said, oh, what a day! There will be no night there. Hallelujah! An everlasting day in the presence of the Lord. Oh, what a day! What a glorious day that will be! Hallelujah! Glory. Praise God. Open your Bibles, please, to Ezra, the second chapter. We sang about one day in his courts. I'd like to talk to you this evening about homecoming. Ezra 2:61-62. And of the children of the priests, the children of Habiah, the children of Kaz, the children of Barzillai, which took a wife of the daughters of Barzillai the Gileadite, and was called after their name. These sought to register among those that were reckoned by genealogy, but they were not found. Therefore were they, as polluted, put from the priesthood. Let's pray. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus, for the presence of your Spirit here in this place. Thank you, God, for manifesting your glory already in our hearts and in our minds. We pray for the anointing and the blessing of your Holy Spirit on the rest of this service. I pray for your anointing upon me as a minister of the word and upon all of us that we can hear your voice and hear your word. Release your virtue, release your power, release your glory in this place. We pray in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. You may be seated. I'm going to read this from another version. From among the priests, the descendants of Hobiah and the descendants of Hakaz, and the descendants of Barzillai, who had taken a wife from the daughters of Barzillai, the Gileadite, and was called by that name. Everyone say that name. They searched for their records in the genealogical materials, but did not find them. They were therefore excluded from the priesthood. Excluded. How can you exclude someone from the priesthood? Seems like a pretty harsh judgment, doesn't it? Where is the love in that? God would never exclude anyone. I mean, being a priest is a good thing. But anybody who wants to be a priest should be able to be a priest. It's a good thing, shouldn't they? Exodus 28:1. Take thou unto thee Aaron thy brother and his sons with him from among the children of Israel, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office, even Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, Eleazar and Ithamar, Aaron's sons. And thou shalt make holy garments for Aaron thy brother for glory and for beauty. And thou shalt speak unto all that are wise hearted, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. God said, Aaron and Aaron's sons, those are the priests. They shall be upon Aaron and upon his sons, 28:43. They shall be upon Aaron and upon his sons, talking about the garments, when they come into the tabernacle of the congregation, or when they come near unto the altar to minister in the holy place, that they bear not iniquity and die. It shall be a statute forever unto him and his seed after him. When they come near unto the altar to minister in the holy place. Say holy place. Praise God. That's where God is, in the holy place. That they bear not iniquity and die. Die. That says die, doesn't it, Brother Russell? You mean they could die if they didn't wear the right clothes? They could die. Just think if it was the wrong person. That's pretty exclusive. Ah, Brother Seidel, that's the Old Testament. That's the Old Testament, Brother Phil. We know that the New Testament's all about the love of Jesus. I know Jesus, and my Jesus would never be exclusive. We're an inclusive culture. Real Christianity, this is some people's thought process. Real Christianity is inclusive. If you love someone, Matthew 7:21, the words of Jesus, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. Verse 22, on that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name and in your name cast out demons and do many powerful deeds? Then I will declare unto them, I never knew you. This version says, go away from me, you lawbreakers. You mean saying Jesus is Lord isn't enough? Prophesying? Casting out demons? That's not enough to get into heaven? I've heard some people turn this around and say, see, that's talking about the Pentecostals. They're not getting in. No, that's not what he's saying. He's saying these would be things that people would claim would make them righteous. would prove that they're worthy. And Jesus said, but that's not what I'm looking for. Just before that, in Matthew 7:13, Jesus said, enter through the narrow gate, because the gate is wide and the way is spacious that leads to destruction. But there are many who enter through it. But the gate is narrow and the way is difficult that leads to life. And there are few that find it. Well, then who's allowed in? How do we find the narrow way? I mean, this sounds like a description of some pretty religious people. Prophesying, casting out demons. Who's going to get into heaven? The text that we read in Ezra is part of the story of the return to the promised land of the nation of Israel. Ezra 1:1 says, in the first year of King Cyrus of Persia, in order to fulfill the Lord's message spoken through Jeremiah, the Lord stirred the mind of King Cyrus of Persia. He disseminated a proclamation throughout his entire kingdom, announcing in a written edict the following. Thus says King Cyrus of Persia, the Lord God of heaven, the Lord God of heaven has given me all the kingdoms of the earth. He has instructed me to build a temple for him in Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Anyone from his people among you, may his God be with him, may go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and may build the temple of the Lord God of Israel. He is the one who is in Jerusalem. Anyone who survives in any of those places where he is resident foreigner must be helped by his neighbors with silver, gold, equipment, and animals, along with voluntary offerings for the temple of God, which is in Jerusalem. The Emperor Cyrus, King Cyrus of Persia, he said that God told him to do it. This king could do whatever he wanted. He was an emperor. He was a king over not just one kingdom, but many kingdoms. If he wanted to build a McDonald's in your backyard, he could do it. Anything he wanted to do. And he said God told him to build a temple. Why would he suddenly do that? Proverbs 21:1 says, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, as are the rivers of water. He turneth it whithersoever he will. Think about that. When you think about the circumstances of life, when you think about situations that you're faced with where powerful people are involved or situations beyond your ability, the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. Ezra 7:27 says, blessed be the Lord God of our fathers, who so moved in the heart of the king to so honor the temple of the Lord which is in Jerusalem. He has also conferred his favor on me before the king, his advisors, and all of the influential leaders of the king. I gained strength as the hand of the Lord my God was on me, and I gathered leaders from Israel to go up with me. Praise God. There is no situation in your life too big for our God. The word of the Lord said it was going to happen. The king, the emperor of the then known world, had no choice but to fulfill the word of God. According to Schofield's notes, the order of this restoration, this was the first detachment under Zerubbabel and Jeshua. Later on, there came an expedition with Ezra in it. Ezra was the first of the post-captivity books. They returned to Palestine under Zerubbabel by decree of Cyrus. Of the children and of the priests, some of those who claimed to be descendants of Aaron, we read about Barzillai and his descendants. They claimed to be descendants of Aaron and therefore priests, but they had lost the evidence of their descent. This loss was held to disqualify them from the exercise of the priestly office. Now think about that. God uses a heathen king to build a temple, gives that king favor, gives Ezra favor, does this work in Israel, but then when it comes time to decide who's who in the kingdom, these priests or wannabe priests are left out because they took another name. Praise God. Not everyone came who could come. And not all of the captives of Israel that were there in Persia or in Babylon, they didn't all come. There was only a portion of them that returned. Not everyone took advantage of the opportunity. Maybe they didn't think it was such a great opportunity. Maybe they were comfortable where they were. But God had a plan for his people. You know, we have had promises from God throughout our congregation. We have had promises from God that he is going to bring people back into the family of God. He has promised that he will bring back to us those that have been living in captivity. Praise God. He's made this promise in spiritual gifts manifest here in this auditorium. I've had a number of people who have talked to me that God has laid it on their heart to pray for the prodigals, those who have walked away, those who have fallen away, those who have run away. God knows where they are. Of all the things that happened at conference, it's just an overload of information and blessing and opportunity to worship and hear the word of the Lord at general conference, almost to the point where you're just, all right, that's enough. And that's how I am when I go anywhere anyway. After 2 days, I'm done. My vacation's over. Let's go home. But I don't remember what service it was. I don't remember who was preaching. I don't even know what the topic was. But there came a point when somebody was ministering in the Word, and they told the congregation to respond to God with faith. And in that moment, I lifted my hands, and the thing I prayed about was my daughter. And I've struggled whether I was even going to mention this tonight, but I want you to understand that God is making a promise to his people. I pray for my daughter. Now, my one daughter, Kristen, is here tonight. I pray for her too. And Kendall, and Kaylin, and Taylor. I think almost every time I pray for all of these. And I've been trusting God and believing God, and I've had men of God at various levels of ministry and relationships talk to me and say, God will bring your daughter home. And I've prayed and believed and but something happened at that conference. I mean, thousands of Pentecostals. I mean, speaker sets as big as this room almost. Several of them. They start up and you have... Some of you are old enough to remember a magazine ad for, I think it was Sony. And the guy's sitting in the chair and he's gripping onto the arms with both of his hands. And the speaker is blowing him back against the chair and his hair straight back because... That's what it's like. They hit that first note, and everybody in the place jumps and comes back down. When they land, they start worshiping. It's loud. People's shouting and dancing and singing and worshiping God all around. And something happened in my spirit. Everything got quiet just for an instant. And I've been thinking about this today, and it was like when Jesus spoke to the water, he said, "Peace be still," and it was still. Do you ever imagine what the water just was still? It doesn't say the storm stopped. It said the water was still. If you stop the rocking of a boat or the rocking of a bucket with water in it, the water sloshes for a little while. No, the Bible says the water was still. That's what happened in my spirit. Still. Like just water. Still as glass. And it was like one drop. Boop. Dropped right into that water in my spirit. And it was a word from the Lord. And he said, I will bring her home. I don't know how, I don't know when, I don't know. But I know I heard from God. It's the word of the Lord. People have received a word like that of their own. Some are praying, some are reaching out, some are carrying a burden. But when God says it's time to return, there will be a return from captivity. I said, when God says it's time to return, there will be a return from captivity. Now, everybody has a free will. But what I'm saying is that God is doing a work. He's moving right now. He has spoken it. Whosoever will can enter in. You can get back in the right way. You can get on the path by His power, by His strength, through His word. Now's the time. Maybe you're here today. Maybe you've been on the path. Maybe you left the path. Maybe you fell off. We could preach a sermon about the different ways that people lose their way. Some fall off. Some run away. Some walk away. But the door to the path is open. His word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Praise God. If you are willing, He will make a way. Ezra said it was to fulfill the word of the Lord spoken by Jeremiah. Cyrus didn't know Jeremiah. 70 years before the prophecy had been spoken. Jeremiah said 70 years, time was up. 70 years have passed. Now it's going to happen because God said so. Cyrus didn't have any choice. It was time for God's people to come home. It was time for a homecoming. Hallelujah. Now this is fall, and this is the United States, and this is Wisconsin. And if we say homecoming, according to Wikipedia, homecoming is a tradition of welcoming back alumni of a school. It is a tradition in many universities, colleges, and high schools in the United States. It usually includes activities for students and alumni, such as sports and culture events. I don't know how many culture events there were at my homecoming. And a parade through the streets of the city or town. I guess those big paper signs they were making in the hall, I guess that's a culture event. My exposure to homecoming came in stages. My older brothers were football players, and every year there was a football game with bonfires and a parade, and I thought that was cool. So as a child, homecoming was about bonfires, parades, and a football game. And as I grew a little older, I found out that some of the kids in our city, in our town, for them, homecoming meant it was time for what they called initiation. I think it was just a chance for older kids to be mean to younger kids. But if you were a freshman, you had the opportunity to be initiated, which meant they would smear something all over you or mark up your clothes or do something to mark you as a freshman. We call it hazing today. So as a freshman, homecoming was about the hazing. And And when I got into high school, I found out that homecoming had another element. A dance with a date and a corsage. That's left over from Voces Unidas, by the way. And tuxes, or at least a suit. And a dinner. Who are you taking to homecoming? I mean, I'm supposed to go to home. I was so clueless. Plus, I didn't have a girlfriend, so I didn't know what to do. So a friend of mine, a close friend of mine, she asked me, are you going to go to homecoming? I said, I don't know. I didn't. She said, why don't you go with me? I said, okay, great. That's all right. My wife met her. She knows who she is. But after I graduated, homecoming takes on a different meaning. The true meaning of homecoming is really about those who are no longer part of the high school. It concerns the alumni. That homecoming, it's like Brother Grant used to say, you can't come back if you don't leave. Usually he said that about 10:30 on a Sunday night. Homecoming is about coming back home. Praise God. You know, there's a lot going on here at Calvary Gospel Church. We love to worship the Lord here. We love to have Bible studies, leadership classes, men's fellowship, women's fellowship. We love to fellowship and attend conferences. And we love to worship and sing and dance. We love to preach and teach and shout and run. We like to speak in tongues and pray. Did I mention that we like to praise and sing and worship? And we love to fellowship. I had mentioned fellowship, right? And for those of you that aren't used to Pentecostal language, that means eat and talk. That's not the biblical meaning, that's the Pentecostal meaning. But what this is really all about, when we're all grown up, when we really understand why we're here. If you want to know why the church exists, it's all about people coming home. We're here to celebrate homecoming. Praise God. You can come home tonight. You can come home tonight. The father of the prodigal son was waiting for him to come home. He was waiting. He was looking down the road, just waiting for him. And when he did, that's when the celebration began. Praise God, child of God, in this house tonight, it's homecoming. It's homecoming. It's time to come home. Now, you may say, but Brother Seidel, I've never been to this church before. Or you may even say, I've never even been around Pentecost before. I'm not even a Pentecostal. What does homecoming have to do with me? Well, some of you saw my wife bring this up. I've got a book here. I have three of them, actually. I'm looking for the fourth one. It says, Nicolay, 1975, Menasha High School Centennial Edition. And no, you can't see my picture. But in this book, there is a picture of Sherry Sandlin, Vicky Shades, Ron Shirley, Barb Schenk, Dan Schmaltz, Tom Schmaltz, Kathy Schmidt, Jeff Schmidt, Steve Schmidt, Kathy Schmitting, Kurt Schmitz, Cheryl Schomer, Chris Schomer, Peggy Schrader, Sue Schultz, and John Seidel. My name's in the book. I said my name is in the book. I have a right to go to a Menasha High School homecoming because my name is in the book. I went to a class reunion once and sat across from a woman. I was sure I'd never seen her before in my life. Evidently, I wasn't one of the cool kids because they were all at a different table. But when I got home and looked in the yearbook, sure enough, she was in there. She was an alumni. So she can go to homecoming anytime she wants. See, that was the problem with the children of Barzillai. Remember them at the beginning of this? That they were of the children of priests, but they had given away their name. Their name was not found in the genealogy. Therefore, were they as polluted, put from the priesthood? According to one source, Barzillai preferred that name, the name of the family that he married into, preferred that name to the name of his own family, deeming it a greater distinction to be connected with so noble a family than to be, you know, sometimes we're so worried about being popular with the people at work that we'd rather identify with them than we would with the family of God. Romans 12:1 says that we are to not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I beseech you, there I got it now. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable will of God. Praise God. Hallelujah. I want to identify with the family of God. I want to identify with the name of Jesus Christ. I want to have my name in the book. Because I'm going home someday. Their names were not in the book. Something like that's going to happen at the end of time. Revelation 20:11 says, I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great. That means everyone. The dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open. Say another book, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to his works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is a second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now, I can't change whose name is written in this year book. In the last 4 or 5 years, two of my closest friends from junior high and high school passed away. I only made it to one of their funerals. I think of them often. I'll never see him again. I brought one of them to church in Oak Creek one time, and I tried to get him involved and hooked up with the church there. Their names are in my yearbook. will be forever alumni of Menasha High School. That's been decided. The descendants of Barzillai lost out because of a choice he made. Just think of that. He made the choice and his descendants were left out. Think about your children. But you and I, we don't have to suffer that fate. You don't have to miss out because of your ancestors. Let me say that again. You don't have to miss out because of your parents. You don't have to miss out because of what they did to you or what they did about you or any other, even if they did leave you at Tupelo Children's Mansion. You don't have to miss out because of where you went to school or where you didn't go to school. Whether you went to school or not. Hallelujah. Doesn't matter if you were raised Pentecostal or not. I remember the first time I came to Calvary Gospel Church and I saw all these church people walking around with their suits and ties. I didn't have a suit or a tie. Not one in my home. I don't even really think I had a home. Does it even matter if you've ever been to a Pentecostal church before? Praise God. You may not have your book in the Nicolet. Well, I feel sorry for you that you don't, but you may not have your name written in my yearbook. But you can have your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You can have that done before you leave here tonight. There's so far, there are three men who are going to be baptized tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. The book of Revelation says that whosoever will may drink of the water of life freely. The Bible says you can have a name that is above every other name. The Bible says when we repent and are baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, we put on Christ. We are baptized into Jesus Christ. Praise God. What that means is that when we're baptized in Jesus' name, we take on the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Our sins are washed away. Whatever your past is, whatever your history is, whatever your family history, whatever your personal history, it all goes under the blood of Calvary, and Jesus Christ will never refer to it again. The Lamb's Book of Life. Jesus said we must be born again of the water and the Spirit in order to enter into heaven. But you see, it's called the Lamb's Book of Life. And Jesus Christ is the Lamb. So it has his name. So the minute that you're born again, when you take on the Holy Spirit with the infilling of the Holy Ghost and you're baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, your name goes down in the Lamb's Book of Life for all eternity. Let's stand. He's the Lamb of God. He takes away the sins of the world. These yearbooks that I have, they're not my original yearbooks. My original yearbooks, they have all kinds of goofy things written in them. They probably don't exist anymore. Because when I came to God, I took every book in my library and I got rid of it. Because I wanted to make a clean break. Praise God. So, yeah, I know there's things about my high school in here. There's memories here. But not all those things that people wrote about me. So that part is gone. Praise God. And so is everything else that happened back then. It's all under the blood. Praise God. Hallelujah. Yeah, I'm... I'm proud to be an alumni of Menasha High School, but more important than that is that my name is written down in glory. And you can have your name. You can have the name of Jesus Christ printed on your soul, and your name can be written down in the Lamb's Book of Life forever. Praise God. It's homecoming time. Brother, sister, if you've been living out on the edge, if you've been staying away from the center of God's will, it's time to come home. I believe Jesus is coming. I don't know when. I don't know exactly when, but I know he's closer today than he was yesterday. And I know there's a whole lot going on in the world that things can happen really, 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 really fast. When you receive his name and his spirit, you're in the book. I said, you're in the book. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's the name by which everyone in heaven will be called. And neither is there salvation in any other name, for there is no other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. You can have the name of Jesus. You can have your name written down. Praise God. If you want to have your name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, I'd like to invite you to come and pray. On this side of the altar, we like to help people find their way to repentance. That means surrendering your life to God, asking him to forgive you for your sins, admitting that you're a sinner, asking him to forgive you, and committing your life to him. That's repentance. Once you have done that, the Bible says you should be baptized in the name of Jesus, and your sins will be washed away. He paid the price for your sins on Calvary when he died there. His blood, the Bible says, cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Praise God. You can have that. You can be set free. I remember how it felt when I came up out of the water. I was clean on the outside, but I felt clean on the inside. I felt free. He that the Son has set free is free indeed. You can have your name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. He wants to fill you with his Holy Spirit to give you the ability to live the life that he's called you to. You can have that if you will come and pray right here. If you have something that you're struggling with, brother or sister, or anyone who needs it, there's a place right here. We will pray with you. I believe God's power is greater than anything on this earth. Any addiction, any problem, any question, any difficulty, God is greater. Come and pray. He will meet with you. He will give you an answer. He will give you direction. He will give you deliverance. He will touch your life. If you need healing, please come down to this side. And we believe that God is a healer. The Bible says, by his stripes we are healed. It doesn't say we're healed. It doesn't say going to be healed. It says are healed. Praise God. You can be healed right now. One of the things that Brother Bernard said at the general conference is that he's expecting a great increase in signs and wonders and miracles because he believes that's God's will for the last days for his church. Why don't you be a part of that last day explosion of signs and wonders? Let God heal you. Let God do a miracle in your life. He is able. He is able. Praise God.